Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
And Mike, the Feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, three.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 370. Getting heavy. One. We're having fun. 371. And I'm here, as always, with the Feverish Fanero.
What up, what up?
What's up? And wait, we have a guest. But, you know, the funny thing is, like, okay, so we've got Russ. You saw it on the show feed. You know who's here. We've got Russ, Dynasty Outhouse, one of the nicest guys around you can find. We're going to see – we're going to challenge him tonight to see if he's smart, though. And we're going to send him through some rookie stuff. Like, but he's a nice guy. He's super nice. But I'm joking. But so it's funny because – our listeners don't know this, but that's probably the first time in maybe 10 to 20 episodes that we have started our show with the intro music. And I'm sitting here, like, I almost wanted to come on the show and be like, "There's our, we finally have the intro," but I edit it in every time, but we don't get to hear it. And I haven't, like... I should probably listen to this show more to see how hear my suck, but I haven't heard, like, "There's nothing in a vacuum" and all of that. Like, it was so good to hear that again. So
it was, well, that you need to make him yell it more often.
I know. Do you want me to send you the drop?
Yeah, just I will start playing that rant. I'm randomly going to post that on Twitter.
Nothing's in a vacuum.
Watching Russ's reaction to that playing live reminded me just how that is permeated. I have no idea. Like, people literally tell me, like, the first thing I think of when I hear "Nothing's in a vacuum," I think of you.
1,000%.
It's crazy. That's one episode, 350 some odd episodes ago that people still remember. And like Swag said, we haven't played that intro song live with a guest in so long. To see you, like, just light up after listening to it is such a joy.
I could be wrong, but I think that when that happened, it felt so epic even in my ear that I think it was the show title.
I think it was. Yeah.
It was the passion.
Yeah, yes.
It's something I felt very strongly.
He's not dramatic. He's just passionate. He's really passionate about what he does. Russ, thanks a ton for being here. Jokes aside, I think you're a really smart guy.
Oh, see, along the lines, you know, I made the either smart or terrible decision to marry a genius of a woman. And it's funny, like, instead of, like, "You're a really nice guy," what we do anytime I say something stupid, she just looks at me and goes, "You're pretty." And I'm like, "Oh, thanks."
That's awesome. Oh, man. I like your wife a lot now.
Yeah, I love that.
That is awesome. Russ, you're doing a lot. You still have trade ads going. Let's talk about some fantasy cares a little bit, because you are huge in that right now. And I think it's a good time to pass the word along a little bit and just what you're doing. Get people signed up to your YouTube channel. Get people to buy some t-shirts.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, I mean, start from the top. Podcast-wise, Trade Addicts, Dynasty Wall Street, Dynasty Game Night. I do the DLF YouTube, the DLF Trade Show and the DLF YouTube channel. I think that's it now. I haven't really done the grind in a long time on the, you know, Peter Howard's Wednesday night stream. But, yeah, my biggest thing right now is everything with Fantasy Cares. You know, we get too excited about Scott Fishbowl that we, like, you know, Scott was like, "All right, well, we could start ramping things up in May." And we're just like, "May? What? No." So, yeah, you know, we've been releasing t-shirts and
that's cool. I like that.
The t-shirts are so good. Like, I remember a few years ago, I used to help with the designs, and then just, you know, Bob Gilchrist, Jordan Luby, and Steven Johnson, they just gotten so good that it's just like, I don't try anymore. It's like, no, you guys go. I'm not bringing down the average of these designs. It's not.
I was convinced AI was making them the way they're coming out. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many shirts every year. I remember when there was like a shirt. There's like so many shirts every year this year. I love it. I think it's really cool how they're being released, and it's
fun. We got so lucky that Scott liked us, because we literally went to him 1 year for the, I think it was the music, and we're just like, I want more shirts. Can we make them if like all the money goes to you guys, but we make them? And he's like, yeah, that's fine.
That's like, sweet.
And then we just kept pushing our way further and further in. But yeah, so fantasycares.org/early access is where you go if you want to put in your pre-order for the, there's 2-3 sets of shirts going on. You can see them both on the site. But subscribe to the Fantasy Cares YouTube channel, which is fantasycares.org. We're Fantasy Cares Org on all social medias, except for Facebook, which I still don't even like. When I think of social media, I don't even think of Facebook anymore. Like, that just,
yeah, I totally agree.
But like, we had to make one because it's a thing. But yeah, Fantasy Cares Org on YouTube. Subscribe, hit that bell so you get a notification every time we go live, which is going to be a lot now. Like, we're already doing it 2-3 times a week. And, wow, you know, like I said, we try and ramp up the excitement, which means we're giving spots and stuff away. So, you know, check us out. Come hang out. You know, it's during the day, just 20-30 minutes, just to have some fun, get a nice break from the middle of the day. But yeah, you know, if ever you can, fantasycares.org, donate some money. You know, we do our big Toys for Tots shopping at the end of the year, but we've started donating a lot more along the year to different charities. You know, what's the words? Like, National Women's Day was early in the month, so we donated to Play Like a Girl. There was
Keith Cummings, and
yeah, I'm trying to think of what the real words were for that.
I know.
It was Rare Disease Day,
yeah,
is what it was. And World Down Syndrome Awareness Day was a couple of days ago. We donated it there also. So, you know, we try and do good with wherever we can, because, you know, our push is we play this game with this extra money we have. Might as well put some of it to some good in the world. And, well, we always want it to be to us. But if it can't or won't, just donate some money. You know, one buy-in to charity per league. With all of these leagues that all of us we know we're in could do just so much good. And why not?
Well, even all of your Trade Addicts leagues have been always been designed that way, that yes, half of the money is going to go to a charity and the winner gets to pick where that charity goes.
Yeah, every league I run, a decent amount of money goes to charity. It's usually about 2.5 entries. The only one where you don't choose is the Harry Potter League, because it's the 4 Hogwarts houses. So we picked specific charities for each of the houses, you know, that kind of line up with those. $42 buy-in for the Trade Addicts Leagues, and it's like $108, I think it is, goes to the charity of the winner's choice.
Which is awesome.
What charity is Slytherin?
That was a tough one, because like, you don't really want to like donate to like a future CEO thing that just feels like, let's give rich people some more money. They go back and forth between reptile.
Okay. Preservation
is the wrong word, but you know, like
preservation.
Thank you. Yeah. And
that's a good one. That's a great one.
Yeah.
I think it should go to an anti-bullying campaign.
I'm going to bring that up.
Wow, you're dead right. That's what
came to my mind first. But
that's nail on the head. That's what it has to be.
I'm in Hufflepuff, and we, you know, because Hufflepuff is inclusion, so art is also anti-bullying and equal rights and stuff like that. But no, that's a great idea. I'm going to bring that up to the Slytherins.
That is a good one.
So they might be too slithery.
No,
I don't know if that's a thing.
We were talking in the open about how passionate I was about that little line I said so many years ago. If you can't hear Russ's passion for Fantasy Cares, you have deaf ears. That was sincere. You can just hear in his voice how much he just wants to help.
Oh, and you can see it too in Twitterverse, and just how much they're pushing it out. Half the time, like you said, you're recording those in the daytime, and yeah. I'll see it and I'll try to give it a retweet if it shows up on my timeline, because Twitter's so weird these days.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll try to give all of those a retweet if I can see them, but I haven't really been able to tune in for a good amount of time on any of them. I won't lie. It's just kind of busy.
Oh, no. We absolutely get it, which is, I mean, we try, you know, okay, yeah, we're a charity. We want your money. Like, of course, that's the bottom line. But, you know, like the same thing with everything I do. It's more about the community of it all, you know, getting everyone involved. And again, even if you can't donate, like you said, just a retweet, a share, a something. You know, people just coming to hang out on the YouTube stream for 20 minutes during lunch in the middle of the day. You know, I wish it could be, you know, in the evenings. But like I said in the beginning, like, I don't really do much in the evenings anymore, except, you know, Swags is like, hey, Russ, you want to come on the show? And I just said yes, without even thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, I'll be there with you. Yeah, I got you. But I would love, because I know that a lot of people, like, every time we go live, there's a bunch of people that are just like, oh, I'm at work. And I'm just like, I am so sorry. I wish that we could just sit on live 24 hours a day just to hang out with everyone. I mean, that's what the Podathon is for, but, you know.
Yep. So, into the show. Russ is here to tell us how he feels about rookies. As I say, from bliss to devastation, the good, the bad, the ugly. Rookie fever.
Rookie fever. Rookie.
Let's start right there, Russ. Open-ended question. Answer it any way you like. What do rookies mean to you? I know it's incredibly open-ended. What do rookies
mean? Shiny new toys, man.
Ooh, like, I got you.
I mean, that's really what it is. Like, even when you're in a what feels like a bad draft year, you still find a couple of players that, even if you're like, this isn't going to be the next, like, this guy's going to be the next Jerry Rice. Like, you know, Laquon Treadwell kind of killed that, right? Like, he was literally called, like, no, it was Michael Irvin for him. But, like, even if, like, you don't have those guys, like, there's always someone somewhere that you just, like, I really like this guy. And when there's a 12-person league, there's enough people that still makes it interesting. And I, like, you guys who do rookie, you know, podcasts and stuff like that, just make the consumption of the information so much better and more enjoyable, where it's just like, yeah, man, this is gonna be a bad class, but I still enjoy listening to you guys talk about it. So, like, it's always something new. It's an infusion into the league, which of the NFL, which is an infusion into the fantasy leagues, and it, you know, keeps everything from being stale. So it's new, it's shiny, it's great.
Yeah. And a lot of people feel that way. So there ends up being, like, certain ways to manipulate the market, even if you don't feel that way in a class.
Oh, man. Like, I always do. And I still usually never have draft picks because I have a trading problem and they're just so easy to trade.
They are.
Oh, I definitely want to hit you up on that. Do you have any in mind, any in-draft trades that you still to this day remember, either good or bad? That just kind of really stick out,
like, from the past.
Yeah, like any rookie trade in draft that you've ever made that you can kind of just go, damn, wish I never had done that. That's embarrassing. Or wow, this is like one of the better moves I've made. It might have been partially by accident, but it sort of looks good on paper today.
I remember trading back in the 2016 rookie draft.
Okay.
And because I had the 106, which got me Derrick Henry, and then I had the 107, and I'm like, you know, and someone sent me like a decent offer, and I'm just like, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. And they took Michael Thomas, and I'm like, you sucker, taking Michael Thomas and leaving me Sterling Shepard. That's right, let's go. I said it out loud, no less. Like, I put it in the chat. I was just like, yes, I was going to take Sterling Shepard anyway.
And that's the best, when somebody says it in the chat like that. And in this case, it unfortunately happened to be you.
And very wrong very quickly.
Yeah.
This is probably my favorite part of this series so far, is how people so good at this game. And Russ, I know you're great at this game. Swags, I know you're great at this game. I know you both enjoy it. You take it very seriously. This is why we do podcasts. This is why we go out there and do all these things. But the thing that always amazes me is the most memorable stuff for all of us is our misses, right? Oh, like always. it's always, and we can say it with a smile on our face because we know that it happens to each and every one of us. It's no one is immune from it, and they do stick with you. And I think that's what makes us great at this, because like when something like that sticks with you, you don't want it to happen again. Yeah. So you want to try to figure out, how do I prevent this from ever happening again? Do we ever figure it out completely? No, but the pursuit of that is fun.
Right.
Well, what's so funny is, like, anytime someone asks, because, like, whenever someone guests on the Trade Addict Show for the first time, we ask them a little interview kind of thing. And what are some of the best and worst trades you've made in Dynasty? So, like, when I have to think of that answer, the problem is the same thing that just happened. I have to go pretty far back because it got to the point where now I purposely just make so many trades that I don't remember what I do because, let's face it, like, again, I'm good at trading. I can say that with relative confidence. Of course, I send many, many bad offers, which at this point is a running joke. I love the amount of bad offers I send to Rocky, and not always on purpose. Sometimes it is, but it gets tough sometimes because it's like I'm in 25 leagues, 11 of them are Trade Addicts leagues, a few of them are multi-copy leagues. So like so many trades go on that I really don't remember much anymore. But, like, back when I was in four or five leagues and I trade a second-year Steph Diggs for Jay Ajayi after his three straight 200-yard games, and then Jay Ajayi never does anything again, and Steph Diggs is still crushing it to this day, that you remember.
Yeah. It does. Well, and that's the thing, too, is I think it's so easy, even in our community, to glorify those bad ones. And not just the bad trades, but all of your bad moments that might happen anywhere in life, really. Like, I feel like, I mean, what's the old rule? They used to say it takes 19 good things to, like, override, like, a negative thing.
Yeah, I mean, that does check out, especially, like, the human brain is meant to retain bad things as almost like prevention, as for safety. So you remember the bad things so you don't repeat it. But unfortunately, every time I hear the name Stephon Diggs, I cry a little thinking about where's Jay Ajayi right now.
Well, I mean, the good news is soon it'll just be an even trade. Like, it'll...
Eventually, Steph Diggs has to retire, right? Eventually.
It'll all even out eventually.
I mean, I've been waiting 7 years by now, but yeah, it'll happen eventually.
I mean, it's like me. If you say sell Austin Eckler every damn offseason, eventually you're going to nail it. And you're going to be like, see, I told you to sell him 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald ruined me on that. Larry Fitzgerald and Frank Gore, it's like, they're gone. This is it. Yeah. And then, like, 6 years later when they're still playing, I'm like, I'm not saying that anymore. Yeah. I'm just not going to bother.
I can't count how many times I bought and sold Larry Fitzgerald for a third-round pick as people just passed him around the league.
Yep.
And, man, I'd love to have some more Larry Fitzgerald.
Jericho Cotri was another one of those slot guys that was just a PPR guy, where towards the end of his career, where he was on, like, Carolina and on the Jets, where he literally just got passed around the league for thirds just to – whoever was competing for that little stretch wanted those PPR points.
Yep.
Russ, rookie fever builds year after year after year, right? Like, it gets so intense where every podcast, even if it's not called Rookie Fever, is covering rookies earlier and earlier and earlier. How can you use rookie fever against the league mate?
It's really funny because the truth is I love league chats because they're – well, first of all, I love it because that's the point of fantasy football for me. Like, I'm in so many leagues and all of that stuff. But, like, if you were to say, hey, Russ, do you want to join my league? My first question would just be who's in it, because that matters more than anything else to me at this point. Like, so I love that I have a community of people that I get to talk to. But also, you know, it's a game. There's psychology involved. You still want to beat these people that you like or love. Mm-hmm. And, like, I absolutely feed into the rookie fever in all of the chats. Like, I will keep conversations going. And I will very rarely speak negatively of rookies because if you're talking negatively about something, that is stopping someone somewhere from trading for a rookie pick. So
interesting.
I absolutely feed into the fever. I feed into the glorification, those rose-colored glasses and all of those metaphors for just seeing the positive of what could be. Like, yeah, like, and like the thing is, of course, I get myself caught in it. Like, I was a huge supporter of Marvin Mims with Russell Wilson at quarterback. Like, and a guy who's amazing at tracking deep balls with one of the most accurate deep ball throwers in recent history. Let's go, man. Let's go. And then they probably didn't connect on one deep throw in 2 years. But, like, you know, so again, I catch myself in it every once in a while, but I feed into it so much. Like, I'll always keep the conversations going because, well, first of all, in general, it creates action, and action is good for the league, whether it's with me or not. But like I said in the beginning, even if I'm rebuilding, like, I'll amass a bunch of picks. Like, I'll have 5-6 first round picks, but I'm trading half of them away all the time. Like, I'll trade half and draft half, mostly because I know I'm not great at drafting, you know, my Sterling Shepard story, and having to wait 3-4 years for Derrick Henry to start doing things. So much Corey Coleman and Josh Doxon.
I hear the pain. Oh, my God.
That year was not kind to me.
Kenneth Dixon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
He was in that draft class.
Let me summarize that, Russ. So this is what I heard. First off, what I heard was, I'm really good at trading and I know it. Secondly, I heard the draft is kind of a crapshoot. And then the third thing I heard, if you combine those two ideas, my third idea is I'm going to put everything into what I'm good at. So I'm going to call rookie fever the kindling to your draft attic fire.
Yeah, love it. That's beautiful.
The fire.
You guys are the spark to my heart. That's what I just
see?
Heard.
Aw.
Aw.
Russ is always very sweet.
You probably got that from your wife.
It's too nice to come from my wife.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but you are and or were a Seattle Seahawks fan.
I was. I got to the point where I just cared. Like, I found myself not caring about a team anymore, mostly because of all of the fantasy football and everything. Like, and honestly, it's a little freeing, like, to not care about a team and just get to sit and, like, you know, I'm a red zone guy, mostly because I don't have, like, I don't want to watch Jets and Giants games because they're terrible.
Oh, I love the red zone.
And because I have no attention span. So, like, I sit and I watch red zone and I just enjoy the hell out of it. And, you know, one of my things has always been, I'm not a very competitive person. Like, so I've never been a score watcher. Like, I think my first year or two when I was playing fantasy football, and back then there was no, like, automatic updates. You had to actually hit the refresh button on your on the internet. So, like, I'd sit there refreshing it every 3 or 4 minutes. And then I was just like, why am I doing this? So, like, at this point, I sit back. I watch football for the day. I check my scores Monday morning. You know,
I've gotten more great. Like that, too. Just kind of, there's so much going on to try to keep up with. And sometimes it's not even worth watching the ones you care about or the ones you don't care about that close. I have so much going on in life. Okay, so this is going to be kind of a long-winded question.
Cool.
But going back to Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks, Fanero and I talk a lot about what we call the unhealthy relationship. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you maybe did carry that relationship you had with Russell Wilson into Denver and Marvin Mims, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Can you think of a time maybe you had that unhealthy relationship with a rookie and hung on to him a little too long?
All of them. I've gotten...
That's a great answer.
I probably still have a couple of Corey Coleman shares, just in case. I have gotten very good.
All he needs is the right spot. I mean, Treadwell had a good season at 29.
Look, man, all I'm saying is my Roshan Johnson shares are staying because the converted quarterback to running back, Jerick McKinnon, in a 7-year breakout. So I have a couple of years before I have to start worrying about Roshan. I've gotten very good the other way around of realizing when I was wrong, when I thought I was, like, Marquise Brown is, like, one of the biggest players where I bought into the BMI Twitter, like, all of that, like, he can't be good. He's just a deep threat. He's going to get hit and get broken. And then 2 games in, I'm like, no, this guy's a dude. Like, this is real. Like, ever since then, like, I've been very quick at coming around and realizing I was wrong.
not so much the other way around. I will make excuses for guys I like so hard and for so long that it will just, like, to the grave at this point. Like, you know, I still have my Corey Davis shares because he said he might come out of retirement. Yeah. So, like, I that is absolutely a weak point of mine. I am not good at giving up on players I like.
I'll join that club. I'm not good at it either, Swags. I want to get better. I know you're much better at it than I am.
Well, I think I don't think I'm better at it. I just think I'm my heart is more blackened than yours. And I think that sometimes it's just kind of taking like the name away a little bit and like you give them your ceiling, not like the community's ceiling, but what is the best you think Roschon Johnson can do? And at this point, you're in a situation where the community definitely thinks that ceiling is lower than you. But if you get to the point where you look at a player's ceiling, Bryce Young, for example, and you're like, you know, I think he could be a QB2. Like, he could probably be a top 15 quarterback, but even if he hits, it's probably not going to be as a top 5 quarterback. So can I trade Bryce Young away for a QB2 that's already doing it or better with a plus on top of it? Why wouldn't I do that? And then if Bryce Young goes on to have a nice, healthy career, that's okay. I don't feel wrong in that deal because the deal wasn't always about disliking Bryce Young, but it's about acknowledging that there's probably half my league likes him a little bit more, and I can divert to something that's a little bit more secure and already doing what I feel like Bryce Young's ceiling is. And at that point,
it all comes down to price, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm with you on that, where the problem ends up being, like, all right, so Treylon Burks might be a little too far gone, though now it's rekindled with the new, what should be a very heavy passing offense with my boy Calvin Ridley across the way. But, like, I was a very big Treylon Burks fan with him coming into the league. It didn't happen, then it didn't happen. Still not really happening. And he's worth a third at this point. But the problem the entire time along the way was he was always still worth a little more to me than any offer I ever had coming in.
Right.
And that's why I never traded any of my shares away. But if I did have someone that came in at a price that I valued him at as well, I probably would have traded him. Mm-hmm. You know, especially, well, I am by no means a portfolio player at all. Like, that takes too much work, and I don't care nearly enough, and it just takes away some of the fun. Like, I love T. Higgins. If I can get 100% T. Higgins, I'm getting 100% T. Higgins. You know, of course, too many people know how I feel, so it's almost impossible to trade for him at times. But, like, with someone like Burks or someone on their way down or that might not be what I wanted them to be, and I have 50% over my leagues, yeah, I could trade two or three away and it's not the biggest deal, and that's fine. But, you know, if there's a player like Bryce Young where I probably only have two or three shares, and I do believe in him as a player, you're right, he probably won't be a top five quarterback or anything, but I probably still value him at that. Well, this year's a little unfair with how good the rookies are, so he's that mid late first area. If I got a trade offer for that, I would easily consider it, but to a lot of people, he's a late first, early second, and I'm just not going to do that yet. And that might bite me in the end. But again, I play for fun. I play to make me happy. So I'm not going to go against a player I like just because I feel like it's the right move. Because the truth really, when it comes down to it, is if you're playing for fun, as long as you win like two leagues, it covers mm-hmm. the rest of them.
Yep, mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it.
So, like, I know I have a couple of teams that are good enough where I could do stupid things with a bunch of them. So, like, I'll hold on to some guys for a little too long. And again, is it smarter that I should try and win all of them so I can win a ton of money? Yeah, of course, but I'm pretty.
Ah, nice call.
It all comes very full nice. Circle. So I'm going to offer you Baker Mayfield and a 2025 first for Bryce Young. On a three-year contract. We got Baker on a three-year deal.
Yeah. I think I take that if I'm a competing team because, again, I really do like Bryce Young. I think he's very talented. Deontay Johnson was a fantastic get.
Yeah, it was.
I'm a big Higgins and Ridley fan, and I wanted either. I would have been happy if either of them landed there. First of all, because that color jersey would look beautiful right here. But Well, my Ridley jersey's right over there, so we'd go over there next, but T would go right here. But also because, like, that he had the ghost of Adam Thielen to throw to, and that was it, with no offensive line to speak of. So they bolstered their line a bit, and they gave him a guy who gets open. So, like, this is the start. Like, they made the right moves, which was great to see. But that being said, is his ceiling that different from what we've seen from Baker Mayfield, especially that they brought Mike Evans back, which I was honestly a little surprised that happened. Me too. Like, once they brought him back, I was like, okay, cool. Why can't he do a little better than he did this past year? So I would do that, because if I'm a competing team, I run with Baker in my lineup, and then somewhere in the season, I use that 25 first to make my team better.
Yeah, I like it. And if Bryce Young fails, you got out of that. And that,
yeah, I mean, that's always,
I'm not trying to be negative.
You
never want to root
for someone to fail, but even if you do trade them away. But, like, yeah, it's better when they fail not on your roster.
But we've been playing this long enough to know that even if you like him the most, you can still see the risk involved.
Always, yeah. I mean, at least it's smart to think that way. I know there are some people that can't, but, you know, like, even I understand that T. Higgins is never going to be the wide receiver one in the league. Like, I get it, so I'm not going to treat him like that. He's my favorite. He's not the best. Like, that's always been something I've been very purposeful at wording, when, especially like when I'm on a podcast, like my show in the 2020 draft, I always would say, J.K. Dobbins is my favorite running back in this draft. He's not the best, and he's not the most valuable at all, but he's my favorite. Of course, that didn't work out very well for me in the long run. But, you know, it was very, very purposely that my favorite was very purposefully worded different than the best or most valuable, because they are not the same.
He's meeting with the Chargers, I hear.
Oh, that would make me so happy.
We'll see. Fifth-year breakout.
I'm here for it. And just, like, especially after someone just gets hurt so much, you love to see that comeback. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that Deonta Foreman's not setting the world on fire, but how great is it every time you see him, you know, have a decent season where it's like he hadn't, like, no, there was no hope for him coming back from an Achilles, and he came back and he had a pretty good year with the Bears. And it's just like, yeah, good for you. And the Panthers, it's just like, yeah, good for you, man, coming back. So, like, at this point, Dobbins, who just keeps tearing ACLs, like, it would just be such a nice story to, you know, come back, have a good career.
Russ, what makes those players you talked about your favorite? I know that's not a rookie-specific question, but you really got me curious. Like, I like what you were doing there. You basically said, look, I fall in love with a player. Yeah. They become my player. And I'm just curious. What are some variables that made you love Dobbins or even Higgins? Like, what are those things that push you over?
Man, I don't really know what it is. Specifically with Ridley is I loved his feet and his hands. He was such a good route runner, and unfortunately this past season it did not work out that well with his hands. But like he just any ball that was near him, he was able to snatch, and it just he was so good. And you know, it was at the time in 2018 where, you know, the X was sort of getting, you know, pushed away, the idea of the X receiver. So when you have these dudes that are built and then can play on the inside, and, you know, the league was going into more zone offense because of the amount of running quarterbacks. So the idea of those Doug Baldwin types, Doug Baldwin was short, but he was bulky and can work zone defense so well. So watching Calvin Ridley like that was really what did that for me. T. Higgins, his body control was disgusting. Like, I remember seeing a couple of catches. All it took was like three catches on a highlight reel to make me love T. Higgins, where there was a back shoulder on the sideline. He turned his body one way, his feet another way, and his hands a third way somehow, and came away with the ball. And it was just like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like, yeah. It wasn't that Odell Beckham, you know, Justin Jefferson hand thing, but like, it was just like, the technique and body control that he had, I can't pat my head and rub my stomach at the same time, but he was able to do something different with his feet, with his torso, with his head, and with his hands. And it was just like beautiful. It was just, it made me so happy. Yeah. Like, it was just, I loved it.
My weakness
is still only 25.
I know, man.
Sorry, Panero.
No, you're good. My weakness is similar. So my weakness is when I believe I see something that maybe the average person has missed. Oh. And typically what that is heart and yes. will and attitude, like those intangibles yeah. that I think just make athletes superior, right? The ones that just dedicate themselves to their craft. When I see that early in a player, especially a rookie, I get really stuck on it, like an Elijah Moore. I can get really stuck on it to my own detriment because I saw it with my eyes. I saw greatness. I don't care if he had a slump. Every excuse in the book is allowed to be used if I found some grace in some athlete's step yep. that I think people are missing. Like, I am a big sucker for that.
I completely get it because, again, like, however much this is about money, because it has to be a little bit because you pay for these to play sure. these games. But, like, first of all, it is a game. So you want to root for players you enjoy. You want to root for the players you like. But also, it does really make you and to be a little competitive, like, you want to be that guy that was right. Like, everybody you know, does. Like, you want to be the guy who was like, no, man, like, I get it. Everyone said this guy should be drafted in the second. I'm telling you, he's my wide receiver too. And then bam, you know, and it, you know, if Sterling Shepard hit, I'd have been running down the street screaming about it, but you know, he didn't. Like, but exactly, like, you want to be the guy.
He was
really
fast a couple times though.
All of you said I was wrong, but here I am now.
Yeah, that does feel good. And I, that, see, those I remember, but I don't. I agree with you guys earlier. We were talking and we talked about those misses and how those feel and how you remember them and they're glorified. But I remember any of the hits I had where I felt totally beat down by either social media or somebody else you were talking to about it when they just totally, I hate to say it, but you feel that like mob mentality of like, yeah. oh, you're so dumb.
It's unfortunate.
And then you end up being right. And I do remember those hits very well.
Your CEH trade will go down in infamy.
Yeah, that and like I remember Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Oh,
And getting a lot
I liked him for the dumbest reason ever. I have to. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I need to say this because I was a huge Amon-Ra St. Brown fan because I forgot who it was, whether it was the NFL or ESPN. Someone did an interview with their family. And they asked all of the siblings who the best wide receiver among them was. And they all, without thinking, said Amon-Ra. I'm like, all right, I love him. Let's go.
Nice.
Yeah, you saw something you thought other people didn't see.
Yeah, and that was like, again, it had nothing. Like, I barely watched him play. It didn't matter. Yeah. His family thought he was great. And they played like I'll never have the brain of an NFL player. Like, the competitiveness is not in my body. But without thinking, NFL wide receivers easily said that their brother was better than they were. It's like, okay, no, I'll trust them. I mean, of course, it's not like Equanimeous became anything or whatever, but like, you know, I read that, I'm like, I'm in, let's go.
Yeah.
And the fact that their last name is actually just Brown, but after the first child was born, the dad was like, I think St. Brown sounds nicer, so he just wrote it on the birth certificate. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Like, that's one of the biggest dad moves I've ever heard that I'm just like, yep. I wish I'd like.
He will
I
not
change my kid's name to like Powers or something.
Transformer. Or
Nolan Optimus Prime Fisher.
Yes.
Russ, do you have any like rookie drafting strategy you might want to share with anybody? Anything at all?
Not really. You know, because like the thing with it's always about trading with me. And, you know, that's where my brain always first goes to. Like, drafting, not really. Like, I'm always one of those, like, take ADP into mind, but don't be a slave to it. Like, if you want your, if there's a guy that's falling to at four, but you have the two, just take him at two. Who cares? But, like, you say, what's your draft strategy? And it's really funny because, like, trading back has become like the thing to do these days. And I've just found myself trading up more and more because everyone wants to trade back. So you end up trading up for pretty easily. This year, again, is a little different because of how good this top tier, this top like 7-8 picks in Superflex is seeming to be. So trading up into that is not very easy at all. But I've made a couple of moves already to trade up into the end of the first because there's still going to be a lot of really good wide receivers and wide receivers are my jam. Like, and everyone wants to trade back into that tier. Like, so I'll give the 204 and 209 to go up to the 201 so I can take a better shot at a player I like as opposed to two less successful dart throws. Because like we said in the very beginning, that's all the rookie draft really is. It is roulette. It is darts. It is anything that you might have a little decision-making in, but so much of it is luck, even if you think you're 100% right. Like, it's such a crapshoot that it's just like, take your shots that you can make with the best percentage, which usually just means earlier, yeah, and less often. So I usually trade my picks away so I can't screw up the pick.
No, like I get it. I get it. We've done so many of these shows, and I've avoided the question, did Rookie Fever ever fool you? Because you kind of answered it early at the top of the show, and everyone has a litany of stories of when it occurred. But you've learned from it and said, okay, you know what? Because it's so random, because it's such a long shot, I'm going to use current value and what I think future value is to get points in my lineup and trade these picks away and keep moving on. Do you enjoy your rookie drafts when you're not in them?
Yeah, first I want to say that part of that comes along with, you know, I'll always have rookies on my team, even if I don't take place in the rookie draft. First of all, in a four-round rookie draft, you're still going to find one or two players on the waiver wire afterwards that you find interesting. Like, Puka was on a whole lot of waiver wires. Of course, that's not going to happen probably ever again, so don't think that's what I mean. But, like, I liked Puka, mostly just because he's gigantic and really good in space, which usually that's not a combination you get, but not about him specifically. Like, I'll always end up being in a rookie draft, even if I'm not there. I completely forgot what I was going to start to talk about, so I'm just going to start answering your question. Yeah, because you want to trade in if you see something happening. You need to pay attention to what's going on. Because, like, if there is that guy that you're... Oh, I remember what I was going to talk about, but I'll finish this first. My brain is not
great. I love how your brain works.
It is hard to handle. So, like, you know, you need to watch because, again, like, if you really are into Puka and it's the third round and no one's drafting him, you trade, you know, a third and fourth or whatever, something silly to get into a third round. It's always worth it to watch and pay attention, you know, to see what happens, to take advantage if you think something's worth taking advantage of. Or, again, it's about the people. You want to watch what other people do that's stupid so you can make fun of them for it. You know, like, it's absolutely, like, I very rarely, and again, I'm in a lot of leagues, I'm very rarely oblivious to what's going on in a rookie draft. But back to what I was saying before is, like, I'll still have rookies on my team because, again, being confident in my ability to trade, I call it a wait-and-see tax. You know, yeah, you could have drafted Michael Thomas at the 107, 108 in your rookie drafts. He comes, he plays three games, and all of a sudden he's not worth that anymore. But I'm willing to pay the extra on top to know that, okay, like, maybe this isn't what he's going to be forever, but I know he's capable of it, so I'm willing to pay a little more. I'm willing to do what it takes to get him on my team now. Like, I'm very, especially when it comes to running backs, like, I'm willing to wait and see with running backs.
Because, and then pay up once you feel more confident. Because
you need that specific times, and, you know, specific running backs are only good at specific times, so I will absolutely wait and see for running backs. But, like, that's another reason I'm okay missing out on a decent amount of rookie drafts, is because if I want a player, I'm fine paying the little extra somehow, some way, to get them on my team when I do want them.
Yep. Love it.
So you somehow weaved in the new thought you had and the old thought you had, and I can't even tell which one's which?
Me neither. That's the problem.
That's how your brain works.
Just amazing podcasting.
That's some professional stuff.
It's really funny. What really clicked in my head was when I came down here, my daughter was upstairs making a gigantic mess of my kitchen playing with Play-Doh. And of course, what every child does with Play-Doh is you take all the cylinders of individual colors and smush them together.
Oh, yeah.
So you get like this rainbow Play-Doh, and I'm like, that's kind of what my brain is like. Just all of things smushed together, mixed around, and sometimes they overlap and you get where it is. But like, you find that one blue spot where like, that's the thought I was trying to get to. I got there.
I had a chemistry set when I was, I don't know, 11? 63? Something in that. Oh. I think I want to say like 11. I took every, like back then, and we had all the, you know, a whole bunch of different literal chemicals you could mess with. And there was, of course, a book, and it told you how to put stuff together. I took every chemical and put it into one beaker. Like it must have been like 25 different chemicals. And it blew up. But not like combustion, like it kind of like baking soda, like boiled over. Yeah. It went everywhere. Like carpet was ruined. The clothes I was wearing were ruined. It was not my best day.
What room were you in your house at this?
Like, it was my bedroom in my house.
Did you tell your parents right away?
Oh, there was no hiding it. I don't think you understand. Like it was a pretty awful thing. Like, I'm surprised something bad didn't happen to me. Like, you don't mix 25 unknown chemicals with an 11-year-old and just hope for the best. Like, that's typically something, you know, that you maybe not do.
The splatter, and like on the wall there's just an outline of little mice.
Yeah, you got it. It was red and yellow. I remember that. The mixture was red and yellow. That's not amazing
in real life, but since it wasn't me, that is amazing.
That's awesome, man. The 80s were great. They just like, that would be our toys, and then they'd just get rid of us and have us go play with them no matter what happened.
Yeah. I also was obsessed with fire. I would just take hairspray and I would like spray this wooden desk, or not wooden desk, wooden chair by my desk, and then just light it with a lighter and just watch it go. And it would burn the fluid. Dude. Yeah. And then I would do it. I would just do it again and again. I would do it like over and over. So cool.
Man, the 50s were a crazy time.
Nice one. They're very nice. Swag, do you have anything else for us before I take him into our best rookie landing spots of 2024?
I felt like I did, but I don't remember.
I see it on the tip of your tongue.
I can't think of anything right now, and I feel it would be silly of me to just sit here and think while the listeners. So if I think about it, I'll just.
If you think about it, by the time I explain it all to Russ, you can interrupt me with that.
I'll rudely interrupt you, but then politely apologize for it. Perfect. Like, I have no idea how rude I am.
Perfect. I like it. All right. So, Russ, I guess you're the eighth guest that's going to be in this draft. And all this draft is you're picking a position. So, wide receiver, tight end, or running back. No QBs in this one. And a team for best landing spots of 2024. What are your best landing spots? I'm going to give you the first seven because you can't pick them. It'll also buy you a little time to think about it.
Oh, I have to pull up like a website that shows
all the NFL games, of course, I don't remember. Of course. Yeah, I have Tankathon up or something like that. It's always nice.
Yeah.
All right. John Hogue, our first guest, picked Arizona wide receiver. I think I know why. Yes, I think he believes that the number one wide receiver in this draft is going to Arizona. It's a nice little bet. Michael Sipes, on the other hand, FF Blitz, went Miami tight end. He's been given a lot of crap for that overall 102 pick, but he is standing by it. The madman.
It's a speedy tight end, though. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
And he's a Miami fan.
Yeah. And then Madman did the same thing being a Cleveland fan. He went Cleveland, but he went running back. I don't hate it.
They need one.
Yeah, they need one. And good offensive line. I don't hate that one. Heath Cummings, on the other hand, probably took my 101 and most people's, but it didn't. It's been our 101 for a while and hasn't really fleshed out. Running back, Chargers.
Okay, I wasn't sure like if this was going to be the Homer thing that kept going, he just picked like KC wide receiver.
No, that did not happen.
He mentioned Kansas City a little bit, yeah.
Yes, he did. Yeah. John Lobb went Buffalo wide receiver. Don't hate it. Brandon took advantage of the times and went Cowboys running back. He definitely was paying attention to the Pollard move and went all in. Yes. And then we got Jason DiRienzo going Homer once again. Chicago wide receiver.
That was before Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's not a suite anymore, but it's still, they're going to draft someone for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And Matt went with Chargers last week. That one just released today, I think. A wide receiver, Chargers wide receiver. Nice little spot as well, considering all the wide receivers are gone.
All right, so I have to pick.
Just talk it out. Talk it out.
I feel like I should have done something with Easter eggs throughout the show.
I want to hear that brain work
Easter
again.
Eggs throughout the show just for fun. But
we can work on that.
Maybe next Easter.
Steelers wide receiver. They need their wide receiver room right now is George Pickens and then like Denzel Mims, Marquez Callaway. Like, I've had this conversation this many times that I remember these names. Like, do you remember Denzel Mims and Marquez Callaway are in the league? I didn't until someone brought them up again. Like, so they need to draft someone, and they love drafting wide receivers in the second round. And at least now they have two guys who are much better at throwing the ball than anyone they've had in the past couple
of
years.
So that's under consideration. That's not your pick yet? That's
under consideration for sure.
It's interesting because I think the most interesting part of this to buy you even some more time is how much advantage and disadvantage you have of doing this at certain times of the offseason, right? So like after the draft, for example, leading up to the draft, like days before the draft, we're going to have more information.
Yeah.
So people making those picks are going to have an advantage. We already pointed out, you know, obviously the Cowboys won with free agency. There's still more free agency moves that can easily happen to offset some of these spots. But yeah, it's the Steelers wide receiver is a nice looking at the all overall picks. You're at 109. That's pretty decent at 109.
Yeah,
like, that feels like a safe, solid
duck because there's Texans running back. Did they ever sign anyone?
Nixon.
Yeah, never mind. It's going to take me a year and a half to remember what team he's running on, and most of them are only on 1 year contracts, so I'm going to be screwed by them. Like, I don't remember this much running back movement before.
Yeah.
I'm never going to remember anything.
This free agency was wacky. I remember I missed the first day of it, and I saw a TikTok where somebody was like going through all of them, right? Yep. Like he was just running them all off, and I thought it was make believe. Yeah. Like I thought he was making like shit up. And it sounded, half of them sounded like ridiculous. I'm like, Kirk Cousins didn't go there, and that won't happen. And then I'm like, wait a minute, that one did happen. Yeah. Is this guy saying all these things happened? So I go back in, and I'm like, wow, what a day. Holy crap. I can't keep track of that. Yeah. But yeah, Mixon went there.
Yeah, so my only other answer that I really like is if the Bengals actually end up with just taking Brock Bowers somehow. Like that's really it. Like, and like not even what is Jalen Saunders? Is that the tight end too? I'm blanking on what his real name is. I'm terrible with these names. Like the worst is Xavier Worthy. I keep going to call him James Worthy, and that's not right.
No, that's not.
I was a basketball player when I was growing up,
that's definitely not right.
But if the Bengals take Brock Bowers, like that's literally it, which I don't know how much of a reality that would really be. So I'm going to have to stick with Steelers wide receiver is going to be nice because there's easy opportunity on the table for whoever that wide receiver is.
And we, like you said earlier, but you just barely touched on it. They almost always pick one in the second round.
Yep.
This draft will have some excellent value in the second round. They could easily pluck once again a wide receiver like they've done year after year. That's why when you picked it, I just called it a really safe pick. Like your pick, like if you want to try to pick a landing spot that's not going to flop, I think you just hit it. You know what I mean? Like some of these other ones are a little rough and free agency could totally destroy. But the Steelers wide receiver position behind Pickens is a solid one. Nice pick.
Yeah, I mean, I am curious to see if they go and take one at 20. But even if they do wait to the second round, like you said, it is so deep this year that they'll still get a very good wide receiver down there.
And by picking this slot, you're just picking the wide receiver. If they go first round, second round, third round, they hit any one of those. But you're right. Like just with the history, I feel pretty good about that pick.
And Russ showing a little age there with your NBA knowledge, but isn't correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't James Worthy's name Xavier James Worthy?
Was it
really? It might be.
Holy crap, that would blow my mind.
Well, actually, wouldn't that make you feel better about it? I would feel better about
Russ
it.
Russ is looking it up. I think it was, if I remember correctly.
I'm only seeing James right now.
I'm only seeing James Worthy.
Yeah, it's actually James Aggerworthy.
Oh.
Yeah, James Aggerworthy.
So definitely no.
Darn it.
Yeah.
I wonder what made me think that.
There was a player on the Knicks whose first name was Xavier. But I don't remember what his last name was. But like my dad, like, you know, I was always a big comic book geek, but my dad was always a sports fan. So like calling him like X-Man was like a bonding thing for him. It's like, hey, that's sort of like it's something in common.
Nice. I love it. We are the same. Russ, this has been awesome. Enjoy talking to you before the show. Probably talk to you for a couple minutes unfiltered after the show. Always good times. Again, be sure to check out Russ, Fantasy Cares, everything he talked about at the beginning of the show. Hopefully you're here still to hear him talk about it again right now in case you missed that part. Follow Dynasty Outhouse on X Twitter. Follow at ArtBarkTV. Me, Swagzilla0G. Russ, anything else you want to plug before we get out of here?
FantasyCares.org. Follow us on all social medias, FantasyCares.org. We are ramping way up. We just announced another live draft for Scott Fishbowl today, and there's just going to be more and more stuff every day that passes. So if you're interested at all in Scott Fishbowl, paying attention to all the Fantasy Care stuff is the best way for you to get in. And again, if you have some extra money sitting around and you want to give it to us, fantasycares.org, you can just go donate it. If not, just donate to someone, you know, someone
donate out there to someone them. Or like Russ said earlier, just if, because everybody doesn't have disposable income, and I think everybody understands that, but show some support, some retweets, follow, like you said, like anything you can do to help get the word out there also helps a ton.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just, but not as much as your money.
Yeah. But even still, anything helps. Money helps more, but anything helps. Anything to, you know, push the word.
Russ, every time you join us, I think, why are we not doing this more often? You are such a treat to talk to. Hopefully get to see you again at the expo.
National Treasure.
I'm going this absolutely year. I don't know if you're going.
And I at this point, I probably just won't miss expos at this point. I need it for my soul.
All right, cool. I'll see you there. Go to
we didn't go last year. I had a lot going on, but it'll be hard to miss.
Still go to
again.
The board game hot dog place. That's like the
Milestone
place there.
Yes, that place is. The hot dogs are amazing, and their walls are literally just filled
board with games.
It's such an awesome place.
That's like the coolest place in Canton, to be honest.
I don't think I have been there.
It's so
cool. I don't
cool.
even know about this place.
Like, even the layout, like there's like a little back this. Room. And, like, it's cool. It's got like a nice vibe everything. To it. It's super laid back. It's like
I'm
you're just hanging
just
out
that.
In somebody's nice living room. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, you'll come with us.
And then who doesn't like a good hot dog?
Peanut butter and jelly with honey hot dog. It sounds weird, but it's amazing.
It doesn't sound weird. It sounds gross. I'm willing to give it a try, but I mean, when you say it doesn't sound like, yeah, that I'm definitely there. I mean, I'll try it. I'm
it
pretty
sounded
open-minded,
mysterious.
But
I won't say gross. It sounded like, I'm not sure. Like it would take a little bit of bravery to bite into it.
Yeah. Like I'm not quite sure I want you to open the trench coat. Like that kind of mysterious or
not that kind. No, not that kind. Just like borderline, I'll call it frightened curiosity. I'll call it.
I like that.
Frightened curiosity.
Great show, guys. Appreciate you both a ton. Russ, appreciate your time, especially now knowing that you came on and you're not doing much evening stuff,
yeah,
and
that's
what we've been recording.
Cool.
So I can't thank you enough. I know Finero feels the same. We are Rookie Fever. We are out. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever, in the morning, fever all through the night, sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night, I light up when you call my name, and you're gone on a treat you ride, rookie fever, when you kiss me, when you hold me tight. The 101 style is never done this to before and run. I told you anyone, size and speed, just unreal landing spot, not ideal. Wait, let's just break out a full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet, Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Now we give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever. I'm a fire, fever, yeah, I burn for soup. So who's got the fever? Cause I got the fever, now you got the fever. So she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Fever, what a lovely way.
You got the fever now. You got the fever now. You got the fever now. You got the fever now.